Here's a clip from Rob Reiner's recent His Pete's documentary on Christian nationalism.
We should be blazing forth as a countercultural example, and instead, we're leading the charge of malice and division.
Christian nationalism uses Christianity as a means to an end, that end being some form of authoritarianism.
This is not a movement about Christian values. This is about Christian power.
What happens to the people who don't believe this stuff?
Scared yet? Because you're supposed to be. Ever since the mostly peaceful protest at the Capitol building last January the 6th, everybody and his brother on the left has been screaming bloody murder about so-called Christian nationalism. How MAGA extremists are going to take over the country and destroy our democracy and make Donald Trump the Pope and hang all gay people and turn the nation into the Handmaid's Tale. Sellout Adam Kinzinger even said Christian nationalists are a greater threat to America than the Taliban. And what an absolute joke, because big bad Christian nationalism is just the latest scary tale that the left is trying to use to get you out of the way and to keep us from standing up and speaking up like we're supposed to be doing and need to be doing more than ever before. Well, we're going to start doing that. We're going to start a series this morning here at Fox River, a series called For God and Country, looking at Christian nationalism, where it comes from and what it does and what it's all about. And we're going to start this series this morning by simply looking at what Christian nationalism really is. And to see that, we turn today to Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12. Very familiar words. You have your Bible. Turn with me, please. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. And let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You, Lord, for the gospel, and I thank You also for this country. I just thank You, Lord, for the incredible way You've blessed us with this nation, the United States of America. I pray You just show us today what Christian nationalism really is. And Lord, how much we need to be standing up for it and for You in this country. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. In this part of Psalm chapter 33, David is telling us how a nation can be blessed by God. And in our text today, David tells us that a nation can be blessed by God if it serves and honors the Lord, just like America did. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, America will never survive. America will never be blessed by God again if we don't get back to what Christian nationalism really is. Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, tells us three things that we need to understand about Christian nationalism so we can know what it is and adopt it ourselves. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about Christian nationalism is that it is founded on God. Not Donald Trump, not January 6th protesters, but on God. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 12. Now, what is Christian nationalism? Very simple. I'm a Christian because I love Jesus. I'm a nationalist because I love my nation and my country, and I want my country to be Christian and do Christian things. That's Christian nationalism. And tell me, what is so wrong with that? And I know somebody's hearing this sermon saying, well, Kevin, this verse is talking about the Jewish people, the people that God chose for His inheritance. This is talking about the Jewish nation. Yeah, but this verse also applies to any nation that God chooses to do special things, like America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Nation, God. Notice, no separation of church and state there. God of the Bible, God of Christianity, Christian nationalism. Blessed is the nation that practices Christian nationalism, like America did. And why? Because America, as a Christian nation, was founded on God and His Word. And that's not just a dog whistle. That's not a debunked conspiracy theory. It's absolute fact. Christian nationalism is all about freedom. And real freedom comes from God, because that's what the God of the Bible is all about. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God created you to rule over everything else that He created and not be a slave to anybody. And our founding fathers knew that. Thomas Jefferson said the same God who gave us life gave us liberty. The Declaration of Independence, all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Thomas Jefferson said those rights are self-evident, meaning that God writes them on people's hearts and minds so that everybody knows them. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Christian nationalism is based on God and His Word. And the purpose of government is what? Not to give us those rights and freedoms, but just to protect the rights and freedoms that God has already given us, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. But some people don't realize that. Remember what Kamala Harris said in her speech to Planned Parenthood? How she purposely misquoted the Declaration of Independence 2 times? See if you can catch what those 2 times are.
A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Now, of course, she left out the inalienable right to life because abortion destroys the right to life of an unborn baby. But what else did she leave out? All men are endowed by their Creator. She left out God. And why? Because Kamala Harris thinks that our rights come from government and not from God. And she wants you to think that too. But folks, our rights don't come from government. And because of that, government cannot take those rights away. Last year, all the gun grabbers in the Illinois legislature passed a bill banning automatic rifles in Illinois. And Governor J.B. Pritzker said he would allow automatic rifle owners in Illinois to keep their guns if they registered with the state by last January the 1st. Excuse me, Governor J.B. Pritzker does not allow you to have a gun. God allows you to have a gun. According to Exodus chapter 22, verse 2, codified in the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Regardless of what Barack Obama says, America is a Christian nation. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded by Christians on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't call me, don't write me. America was founded on God as a Christian nation and Christian nationalism." And why? Because contrary to popular opinion, our founding fathers were not drag queens or community organizers or people united for the separation of church and state. They were Christian nationalists. 51 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Orthodox Christians who went to church every Sunday. 29 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were ordained ministers who preached sermons every Sunday. Now, 2 of the founding fathers, like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, weren't exactly Hillsong-singing evangelicals. So, of course, who do they teach you about the most? Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. And the only time you ever hear about any of the other founding fathers is when Sam Adams' beer is on sale at Kroger. But folks, when Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States, he held Sunday worship services in the U.S. Capitol building and used the U.S. Navy band for the praise and worship. Does that sound like something an atheist would do? Benjamin Franklin. Do you know what national seal Benjamin Franklin wanted for the United States? Moses and a pillar of fire. What God used to lead the Israelites through the wilderness. Like God was leading America through the wilderness. Does that sound like something that an atheist would do? No, they weren't born again Christians, but at least they had a Christian worldview. Amen. The very first act of the very first Congress, 1782, was to call for the printing of 20,000 Bibles. They called it the Bible of the Revolution. For what? To give to students in America's schools. What? Who called for the printing of those Bibles? Congress did. Gee, I thought our founding fathers didn't want kids to have Bibles in schools. I thought our founding fathers were all ACLU attorneys who didn't want any prayer at graduation ceremonies. And do you know why people don't know that today? Because they're not being taught it on purpose. Because the first step to taking away people's rights and freedoms is to keep them ignorant. Right now, the number one history book that's being used in over 80% of the high schools in America is a stupid woke work called People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. That book says absolutely nothing about the founding fathers, the Revolutionary War. This is a history book. Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, freeing the slaves. Nothing about the Germans, the Japanese, D-Day, Iwo Jima, or the Battle of the Bulge. The only thing that book talks about are slavery and the United States dropping the atomic bomb that supposedly makes America and everything it stands for hypocritical. Right now, there is not one single liberal arts college anywhere in America that requires even one class on American history for its students to graduate. Not one. And what's the result? 1 out of 3 Americans can't name even one branch of government. Only 17% of college students today can pass a citizenship test. 1 out of 10 high school students think that George Patton was a Confederate general in the Civil War. 1 out of 5 high school students, 1 out of 5 thinks the number one cause of World War II was climate change. Talk about the dumbing down of America. People, there's your Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, pretending to be a mother with that stupid contraption so he can chest feed one of the babies him and his fake husband adopted. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, appoint godly, capable men as leaders over your people. My God, people, what has happened to this country? And it's not that America wasn't founded on God as a Christian nation with Christian nationalism. It's just that too many people are totally blowing it off and ignoring it. To their peril. Because, folks, this Christian nation would have never survived from the get-go without God. Long before George Washington ever became the father of our country, he was a 23-year-old aide to British General Edward Braddock during the French and Indian War. And July 9, 1755, at the Battle of Monongahela, General Braddock was leading 1,400 British troops to the forks of the Ohio when all of a sudden the French and Indians ambushed him in a ravine. And those Indians took out every single British officer there was, including General Braddock. Except they didn't take out George Washington. He managed to rally the British troops and get them to retreat before they were all wiped out. But the incredible thing was, during that battle, those Indians were shooting at George Washington from 10 yards away, up on his horse, bigger than life, and amazingly miraculous. The bullets still weren't hitting him. It's like he was bulletproof. They even shot 2 horses out from under him during that battle. And he still wasn't hit by any of the bullets. And when Washington finally got away after the battle, he found 4 bullet holes in his coat. Not one of those bullets ever touched him. And all during the Revolutionary War, George Washington out in front on his horse, a big old man on a big old white horse, sticking out like a sore thumb. George Washington was not shot. He was not hit. He was not wounded 1 single time throughout the entire war. 9 years after the Revolutionary War was over, the old Delaware Indian that led that raid against George Washington and the British troops at the Battle of Monongahela said this, "I pay homage to the man who is a particular favorite of heaven and who can never die in battle. My braves shot at Washington 17 times and he was never hit. The Great Spirit protects that man and guides his destinies. The Great Spirit has preserved Washington, and he will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the father of a mighty empire." Don't tell me the God of the Bible didn't protect George Washington. Don't tell me the God of the Bible didn't protect him so you could use him later to help save this country. During the Revolutionary War, April 26, 1776, the British had George Washington and the Continental Army trapped on Long Island with their backs to the East River. And the British soldiers dug in trenches, planning on finishing off the Americans. And all that needed to happen was for British ships to sail behind the Continental Army and cut off their escape. And the Revolutionary War would have been over in just 13 months. But what do you know? Those ships never sailed because George Washington prayed, and amazingly, miraculously, the wind died down to absolutely nothing. So the ships couldn't get in place. And it started pouring down rain. So under cover of darkness, General Washington commandeered as many little boats as he could and started ferrying his entire army across the East River to safety, all 19,000 soldiers. But by sunup the next morning, half of his army still hadn't gotten across. So they were going to be sitting ducks for the British Army. Revolutionary War over, right? Wrong. Because George Washington prayed again, and amazingly, miraculously, a fog so thick you could not see your own hand in front of your own face came literally out of nowhere and settled over the British camp and the American camp. And George Washington just kept shuttling his soldiers across the river and across the river. So when that fog lifted earlier than that, later that morning, the Continental Army was totally and completely gone, and the British got neither hide nor hair of any of them. Don't tell me God wasn't fighting for this country. Hallelujah. War of 1812. The British came back on a revenge tour to try to get America back under the British crown. August 24th, 1814, the United States government just completely collapsed. And all the officials in the U.S. government were fleeing Washington, D.C., along with President and First Lady James and Dolly Madison, because they knew if they were caught, they would be hanged. And British troops broke into the White House and saw the table still set for dinner for the president and his family. And the British soldiers sat down and ate all the food and then set the White House on fire. And they also torched the U.S. Capitol building and the Library of Congress and the U.S. Navy Yard, the whole nine yards. People, the entire country was going up in flames. But then what do you know? All of a sudden, the sky got pitch black and the wind started howling. And amazingly, miraculously, a tornado, the likes of which Washington, D.C. has never seen before or since, came right out of nowhere and touched down on Constitution Avenue and started ripping through the British Army and started killing so many British soldiers and so many horses. The British sounded retreat, got the heck out of there, and never attacked America again. And the torrential rain put out all the fire. And why did that happen? John Adams said this, the eternal Son of God is fighting against the British Army. I would say, people, I could go on and on and on. No wonder the left doesn't want you to know American history. Folks, time after time after time, in the early days of this country, when things were at their absolute worst, our founding fathers cried out to the God of the Bible, and the God of the Bible pulled their fat out of the fire over and over and over again. And if he hadn't have done it, this nation would have never gotten off the ground to start with, and America would not be here today. America is founded on God as a Christian nation. And it's not only Kevin Garner that says it. History says it. Most importantly, the Bible says it. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord because of Christian nationalism. Amen. First thing we need to understand about Christian nationalism, it was founded on God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about Christian nationalism. It's not only founded on God, it's also enshrined in our founding documents. And that's also what we see here in verse 12. And those two founding documents are the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. Two different documents written at two different times for two different purposes. Declaration of Independence was written first because it shows how we got our rights and how we became a Christian nation. Then the United States Constitution tells us how a Christian nation is supposed to operate and function in order to protect those rights. So, of course, the left slams both of them. If you go on the website of the National Archives right now in Washington, D.C., you'll see that. Potentially harmful content alert. Words could cause potential harm. They put a trigger warning on the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. What in the world is harmful about those documents? The idea that all people are created equal with equal rights? People, that's insanity. You know why they did that? Because the people behind that hate this country the way it was founded. And they want you to hate it too. Because even though they want to believe it, the United States Constitution was not based on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals or the Communist Manifesto or Heather Has Two Mommies. The vast majority of the Constitution comes right out of the Bible. This absolutely revolutionary idea that nobody in the world had ever heard of before, that human beings with reason and God's help can actually govern themselves without a king or a queen or a czar telling them what to do. And where's that idea come from? It comes from the Bible. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Appoint godly, capable men to be leaders over the people. There's your whole concept of representative government. Whoopi Goldberg, constitutional expert, said this on The View. Something is wrong with this country because it seems like we're not a majority rule. We're not a democracy anymore. Well, Whoopi, the reason it seems like that is because America's never been a democracy. We are what's called a representative republic, where we govern ourselves through elected representatives. Joe Biden screams about democracy even more than he screams about Christian nationalism. And why? Because Joe Biden wants you to think America is a democracy. Folks, our founding fathers railed against that. Thomas Jefferson said this, a democracy is nothing more than 51% of the people taking away the rights of the other 49. And that's why you do not see the word democracy anywhere, anywhere in the Declaration of Independence or the United States Constitution or any other documents that our founders wrote. Because they knew that democracy meant mob rule. And that's the way the left gets power and hangs on to power. See Antifa beating the snot out of the cop and beating the snot out of protesters there? There's your democracy in action. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says the human heart is deceitful above all things. Because human beings are sinful, government power cannot be concentrated in one person. It has to be broken up and divided into three different branches. The executive, the judicial, and the legislative. Where does that come from? Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. God is our king, he's our judge, and he's our lawgiver. Raising your right hand to take the oath of office. That comes from Isaiah chapter 62, verse 18. To be the president of the United States, you've got to be born in the United States. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 10. No foreigner could ever be king over Israel. I could go on and on. And folks, the Constitution not only tells us what government is supposed to do, it also tells us what the government isn't supposed to do and can't do to you. Government cannot force you to put up soldiers in your house. Government cannot come into your house without a judge's written permission. The government cannot search your house or take anything out of your house, including taking your kids out of your house, unless they have a warrant. Government cannot try you for the same crime twice. Government cannot force you to violate your conscience and bake a gay wedding cake. Government cannot keep you from saying whatever you want and writing whatever you want. That's why during the lockdown, Joe Biden got Facebook and YouTube to cancel you and censor you and do all of his dirty work for him. Government cannot force you to wear a mask. Government cannot force you to take a clot shot, which is why during the lockdown, Joe Biden tried to get your boss and your employer and your job to force you to do that. Government cannot force you to buy an electric car. Now, what government can do is outlaw gas stations and make gasoline $500 a gallon. They're going to try to do it that way. But see, in a Christian nation with real Christian leaders, something like that would never happen. The problem is, I can count real Christian leaders in America today on both hands. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, you're talking about a Christian nation. You talk about America based on Christian nationalism. The word God is not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. And young people, listen to me. You go to college, you're going to get hit with this. And you need to know how to explain it. The word God, Jesus, Bible, or Christianity is not mentioned one single time anywhere in the U.S. Constitution. Now, God is all over the Declaration of Independence and the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. He's all over our money. But God is not mentioned one single time in the U.S. Constitution. And of course, the left says, well, that means our founding fathers were atheists and we should all be atheists. And America should never have anything to do with God. And America's not Christian nationalist. No, because actually it means exactly the opposite. Our founding fathers had ancestors from Europe where kings and leaders tried to force people to follow a certain religion. That's why the pilgrims came here from England. So our founding fathers wanted religious freedom in America. So they didn't ban religion like ACLU attorneys want you to think. They just didn't want to show any bias toward any certain religion or especially a Christian denomination. So that's why the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law establishing a national religion. And why? Because our founding fathers were mostly Christians. And we Christians know you cannot force somebody else to become a Christian. Because Christianity is a matter of the will. It's a matter of a work of the Holy Spirit on a person's heart. I don't want to try to force anybody to believe in Jesus Christ because I can't do that. And folks, that's where the whole idea of real tolerance comes from. What tolerance always meant up until about 5 minutes ago. You live in a country of 340 million people, they're going to believe all kinds of different things. They're going to believe things that you don't agree with. But you can live with it, you can tolerate it, you can deal with it, you can put up with it, because you realize they have the right to believe whatever they want to. Christians, we're not threatened by what somebody else believes. We're not threatened by other faith systems. Because we Christians know if we speak the truth about Jesus Christ and the gospel, the truth is going to win. And that's why there has always been religious freedom in this country. There were Jews in the early days of America by 1630. The very first synagogue in America was built in New York City in 1654. There were Muslims in colonial America in 1690. There were printing companies in America printing Korans for Muslims in America in 1718. Now compare that to what's going on today. How many Jewish synagogues do you think there are in Iran right now? Zero. How many Christian churches are there in Saudi Arabia? Zero. How many churches or houses of worship for anything that people believe are there in North Korea? Zero. What does that tell you? If you want religious freedom in a country, that country better be Christian and it better be Christian nationalist. Folks, believe you me, the biggest threat to this country is not Christian nationalism. The biggest threat to this country is Joe Biden and the left trying to destroy our Constitution and all of our founding principles. And folks, what we saw happen in New York City this past week absolutely takes the cake. Last Thursday, a jury in Manhattan found President Donald Trump guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records. And it shouldn't surprise us, because over the last 4 years, the Biden administration has manufactured all kinds of bogus indictments against President Donald Trump, trying to keep him out of the White House in 2024. And folks, all those cases fell apart except the one in Manhattan that they ramrodded through. So now the left can do what they always wanted. They can call Donald Trump a convicted felon and slam him even more. And folks, it's absolutely despicable. Prosecutors claim that Donald Trump helped cover up a $130,000 payment by his attorney, Michael Cohen, to a porn star named Stormy Daniels to supposedly keep her quiet about an affair that she claimed she had with President Trump back in 2006, something that he denies to the hilt. And even though non-disclosure agreements are legal in America, the prosecution claimed that what Trump and his lawyer did somehow, I guess, violate election law, and then somehow, I guess, interfere with the results of the 2016 election. Folks, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not trying to defend what Donald Trump did or didn't do with Stormy Daniels, because that has absolutely nothing to do with this case. The Federal Election Commission said there was no crime committed. The Security and Exchange Commission said there was no crime committed. The former DA in Manhattan passed on prosecuting this case because he said there was no there. But then an attorney named Matthew Colangelo, the number three guy in Biden's DOJ, resigned from the DOJ and took a job in the Manhattan DA office to resurrect this case. And then he got a George Soros-funded attorney named Jack Smith to prosecute it. Jack Smith, who ran for office, promising to nail Donald Trump if he got elected. But see, there's absolutely nothing political about that at all. Don't think that way. And the trial was held in Manhattan, where Donald Trump is hated. And the jury pool voted 94% for Biden. And the judge, Juan Merchan, was a huge Biden donor. And the judge's daughter used this show trial to raise $200 million for the Biden-Harris campaign. For crying out loud, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito's wife flies an American flag upside down on January the 6th, and now the left wants him to resign from the Supreme Court. But this judge and his daughter used a Donald Trump show trial to raise hundreds of millions of dollars for his political opponent, and nothing to see there. No conflict of interest at all. And folks, during the trial, that judge would not let Federal Elections Commissioner Brad Smith testify that Donald Trump never committed a crime. And the judge overruled every single objection that Donald Trump's attorneys tried to make. He wouldn't allow one motion that they asked for. And the jury instructions that he gave were an absolute farce, because he gave the jurors 10 million ways from Sunday to find Donald Trump guilty. Folks, the charges were rigged. The jury was rigged. The judge was rigged. The verdict was rigged. Folks, the verdict was already in before the whole thing started. Constitution and founding principles be damned. Joe Biden's afraid that Donald Trump's going to beat him in November. And so many people are blind to what the real criminals are. Last Monday, the Biden campaign dragged 80-year-old actor Robert De Niro in front of the courthouse in Manhattan to rant and rave about Donald Trump. Next slide. This is part of what he said.
If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave.
Folks, that is Trump derangement on crack. Because who is it that doesn't care about the Constitution? Who is it that's taking all of our rights and freedoms away? Who is it that's never going to get out of the White House? Who is it that's rigging elections and flooding America right now with 10 million more illegal voters from all over the world to help keep him in the White House? It's not Donald Trump. It's Joe Biden doing that. Folks, the threat is not coming from the right. The biggest threat is coming from the left. For the first time in American history, now we have a president who's been convicted of a crime, even though his only real crime is wanting to be president and make America great again. And folks, if you don't realize it, I've got to tell you, this nation is now in uncharted territory. We've crossed the Rubicon. The Democrats not only crossed the line, they've erased it, because America is no longer a constitutional republic. Now we're a dictatorship. where a tyrant can take the legal system, weaponize it against a political opponent, and put him in jail so he can stay in power forever. This is exactly what they do in China and Russia and North Korea and in Cuba. Joseph Stalin would be proud. Our justice system, the DOJ, the legal system, the U.S. Constitution, all of our founding principles, all down the toilet. That whirring sound you hear is our founding fathers spinning in their grave. Is anybody listening now? You paying attention now? So Joe Biden stays in office, Donald Trump goes to jail, and Joe Biden completes the Marxist transformation of America to turn the land of the free and the home of the brave into the socialist hellhole that the left has always wanted it to be. People, listen to me. If they can do this to Donald Trump, if they can do this to a billionaire with a name and a face known all over the world, if they can do this to the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, you can bet the farm they can do it to you, and they're planning on it. Well, Kevin, is there any hope at all? Absolutely. With God, there's always hope. The very nanosecond that guilty verdict was announced, so many people got on Donald Trump's campaign website, it crashed the system and collapsed the whole thing. And Americans donated over $54 million in just the first 24 hours after that verdict was announced. Hallelujah. And get this. By the providence and wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, when the founding fathers wrote that Constitution 250 years ago, they made sure there is nothing in that document that says a convicted felon can't run for president and win an election and serve his term. Don't tell me that's not of the Lord. Folks, the biggest threat to America is not Donald Trump and Christian nationalism. The biggest threat to America is the left that is spitting all over Donald Trump and Christian nationalism and all of our founding principles. And there are a few. There are a few of us who are called Christian nationals, who get it and who understand the threat and realize what's really going on. And if you're sitting in this church right now and you're listening to this sermon and you haven't made a decision yet, you need to stop wailing on us and you need to start joining up with us before this country and all of our rights and all of our freedoms and our founding principles and our founding documents are gone forever. Amen. The second thing we need to understand about Christian nationalism, it's enshrined in our founding documents. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about Christian nationalism. Not only is it founded on God, not only is it shrined in our founding documents, but third, it has been entrusted to us. And that's also what we see here in verse 12. President George Washington, his first inaugural address, 1789, said this, "The sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the hands of the American people." Notice, entrusted to us. So it doesn't matter what Joe Biden and Dick Durbin and J.B. Pritzker do. If that sacred fire of liberty is going to continue to burn or not, if freedom is going to continue in America or not, do or die, sink or swim, it only depends on what we do. What we the people, not we the government. After the Constitution was first ratified in 1787, a woman asked Benjamin Franklin, "What kind of government do we have?" And remember what Franklin said? "We have a republic if you can keep it." You. The only cavalry riding to the rescue, folks, is us. The republic is ours to save. And especially Christians, because our founding fathers knew America would never survive without Christianity. You want freedom? You've got to have a republic where people govern themselves. You want people governing themselves? The people have to be moral and motivated to follow the law, because we do not have near enough policemen to stop us if all 340 million of us want to go knock off a gas station. In order to have moral people, you've got to have religion. And our founding fathers knew the only religion, the only faith system that changes people's hearts, the only religion, the only faith system that gives people self-control and enables them to say no to unrighteousness, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, is Christianity. John Adams said this, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our founding fathers knew America would never survive without Christianity. President George Washington said this, 1797, his farewell address, his last words to the American people. School kids used to memorize this for years and years and years. Religion and morality are indispensable supports for political prosperity. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. And what George Washington was saying there was very simple. You take religion out of politics, you take religion out of government, this country is toast. The problem is there are way too many Christians in our churches today who've had it drilled into their heads like an earworm. Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. Christians haven't anything to do with politics. I get that 100 times a week in letters and emails. My God, Christians, can you stop a second and take a look around and see what that attitude's produced in this country? Open borders, afterbirth abortion, gender queer unicorns. How's that working out for you Christians not being involved in politics? You say, well, Kevin, I just don't want to have anything to do with politics. How can you not? Because everything is political today. Because the left makes everything political today. Sonny Hostin on The View is now saying, if you cheer for Caitlin Clark, that straight white player in the Women's National Basketball Association, the WNBA, if you cheer for Caitlin Clark, who's white and straight, that automatically means that you hate all the black women playing in the NBA and also the ones that are lesbians. What in the world is she talking about? You may not be looking for politics, but I guarantee you, politics is definitely looking for you. All through the Bible, all kinds of God's people, like David and Daniel and Esther and Jeremiah, got involved in the politics of the countries that they were living in. Where in the world does it say in the Bible anywhere that you shouldn't engage with what's going on in your country? It doesn't say that anywhere. You don't want anything to do with politics. Listen to me. If you've got people in government who are representing you, and they are allowing Dr. Frankenstein to take a knife in your name on your watch, and castrate 11-year-old boys and cut the breasts off 11-year-old girls in the name of so-called compassion, and you don't stand up and speak up to try to do or say anything about it, you are just as guilty as they are, and God's going to hold you accountable for your silence. My God, Christians, we have got to get involved in politics. Or can't you see that this nation is dying right in front of our very eyes? Do you see Joe Biden last Monday sleeping during Memorial Day services at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? What in the world are our enemies thinking? Last April the 25th at a baby murder rally in Florida, where Nikki Fried, the head of the Democrat Party in Florida, was slamming Ron DeSantis because he tried to pass a bill, no abortions after 6 weeks. Well, she was droning on and on. Joe Biden did that.
And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president, and so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
Devout Catholic Joe Biden making the sign of the cross like he's trying to ward off legislation that would protect unborn babies. Making the sign of the cross to mock the sanctity of life. That man is an absolute disgrace. See what all the college graduates are doing this year? Here's graduation ceremony, Columbia College, Columbia University, 2 weeks ago. Clueless, brainwashed.
Joy Lynn Van Hassel.
Careless loving. Hitler Youth. Rips up her diploma.
Bixia Chen.
Rips up her diploma that cost her $90,000 a year. America is the only nation in the history of this world that teaches its young people to hate their own country. But see, the biggest problem is Christian nationalism, right? Last week, under cover of darkness, in the dead of night, the Illinois legislature passed J.B. Pritzker's record $53 billion budget. That includes $1 billion more in taxes from you, because we all got a lot of extra money laying around. And that budget also calls for $1 billion more for health care for illegal aliens in Illinois. So you can't take Junior to get his foot x-rayed at the ER because you can't afford the copay. But see, the gangbanger, the MS-13 guy from the prison in Nicaragua, he gets it free. And if you say anything, what are you trying to do? Destroy our democracy? See the two couples doing the snatch and grab at Walmart in Oxford, Mississippi? Shoplifting? Folks, we are no longer living in a country where people think that it's wrong to steal. is no fear of God before their eyes. Take a look at that. That's not Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. That's not Lagos, Nigeria. That's Los Angeles, California. One of the richest cities in the entire world. And it looks like a third world refugee camp. And every other major city in America looks exactly the same way. Half the people in this country are pro-Hamas. One out of four Generation Z thinks they're trans. People, the country that you and I grew up in is gone. And now we are living in the country that our founding fathers warned us about. The Christians listening, for the love of God, you can't just sit back and do nothing. You can't sit this out. The sacred flame of liberty has been entrusted to us. Entrusted to us. Thank God that guy gets it. 17-year-old Connor Basilet is a junior this year. East Central High School in St. Leon, Indiana. He's a born-again Christian, comes from a Christian family, very patriotic. So for the last 2 years, he has had an American flag stuck in the back of his pickup truck. And he never takes it out. So even when his truck is parked at that school, that American flag is there in the bed of his truck. And for 2 years, nobody had any problem with it at all. But then last March, the principal came up to him and told him that when his truck was parked on school property, he could not have that American flag in the back of it. He had to take it out because it violated school policy. There wasn't any school policy against American flags on school property. So Connor Basilek posted it online, and that principal got so much blowback, the very next day he came up to Cameron Basilek and said, forget what I said, you can continue to have your flag in the back of your truck, no problem. Because word got out that starting next year, that principal was going to ban every single American flag, any way, shape, or form American flag, totally on school property for anybody. But then a company called GCP Imaging heard about the controversy, saw it on TikTok, and they got a hold of Cameron Basilek. And they said, we got a solution for your problem. And they gave that kid a $3,000 custom wrap for his truck. So now Cameron Basilek's truck looks like that. How can you take the flag off of that truck? The flag is the truck. It's a flag on four wheels. Touche! Talk about taking a stand. And I know there's somebody here in this. You say, Kevin, I don't care what you say. I don't want anything to do with politics. Don't talk to me about that politics stuff. Don't talk to me about stuff about rights and freedoms. Because it doesn't affect me. It is never going to bother me. Really? One day a little mouse looked through a crack in the wall of a farmhouse and saw the farmer and his wife pulling something out of a little sack. And the mouse thought, I wonder what kind of food is in that sack that I can eat. But then the mouse was absolutely horrified and devastated to see that what the farmer and his wife pulled out of that little sack was a mouse trap. And he freaked out. He ran out of the house into the barnyard and he started yelling, there's a mouse trap in the house! There's a mouse trap in the house! And he ran over to the chicken coop and started yelling to the chicken, there's a mouse trap in the house! There's a mouse trap in the house! The chicken just clucked and scratched and raised her head and said, well, I feel sorry for you, Mr. Mouse, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. It's no concern of mine. It's none of my business. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. So the little mouse ran over to the pig pen and started yelling to the pig, there's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. But the pig just grunted and said, I feel sorry for you, Mr. Mouse, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. It's no concern of mine. It's none of my business. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. So the little mouse ran over to the barn and started yelling to the cow, there's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. But the cow just mooed and said, I feel sorry for you, Mr. Mouse, but it doesn't affect me. It's not going to bother me. It's no concern of mine. It's none of my business. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. So the little mouse went back to the farmhouse with his head down, all sad and dejected to face that deadly mouse trap all by himself because nobody wanted to help him. Nobody wanted to take the time or the effort because, hey, Didn't affect them. It wasn't any of their business. But then that very night, all of a sudden, there was a sound in that house. The sound of a mouse trap catching its prey. So the farmer's wife jumped up and she ran to see what they caught. But in the house was dark. In the darkness, she didn't see that what that mouse trap had caught was the tail of a rattlesnake. And when that farmer's wife got close enough, that rattlesnake bit her in the foot. And the farmer rushed his wife to the hospital and she got very sick. And he brought her back home. And she was so sick, she had a really high fever. And everybody knows the best thing for a high fever is fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took the hatchet, went out to the chicken coop, and got the main ingredient for the soup. But even with the soup, the farmer's wife never got any better, and the fever got worse and worse. So all kinds of people and friends and neighbors and family and relatives came to the house to sit with her. So the farmer slaughtered the pig in order to feed them all. But the wife still got sicker and sicker. Sadly enough, the farmer's wife eventually died, and so many people came for the funeral, the farmer slaughtered the cow to provide meat for all of them. I'm very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. It's no concern of mine. It's none of my business. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. Right now, in this country, there are some very, very evil people who are trying to take away all your rights and all your freedoms and change this country to turn you into slaves instead of free. But there are also a very few and very brave Christians who love Jesus Christ and who love this country with all their heart, who are out there trying to sound the alarm and warn people. There's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. But too many people, even some people listening to this sermon right now, are saying, doesn't affect me. Doesn't bother me. It's no concern of mine. It's none of my business. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. So nobody is helping them. Because nobody wants to take the time or the effort. Because, hey, doesn't affect me. It's never going to bother me. But people, listen to me. We've got to realize it is affecting you. Because what's going on in America right now isn't just with Joe Biden in Washington, D.C. It's not what's happening to Donald Trump in New York City. It's you. And it's the sky-high prices you have to pay in your grocery store. It's the illegal aliens that are taking over your neighborhood. It's the genderqueer unicorn that is teaching your kids in your school and now telling you as parents you don't have a right to know what they're being taught. It's your gun the government wants to take away. It's the gas-powered car, your car, that government wants to confiscate. It's your country that they want to lock down again. It's your election that they're going to try to steal. It's your body that they want to jab again with another clot shot because now the bird flu or whatever in the world else they're going to come up with. It is your family. It is your marriage. It is your children. It is your grandchildren. Amen. Now, Donald Trump said over and over again, they're coming after me, but who they're really coming after is you. And the question is this morning, what are you going to do about it? Things are happening in this country right now that have never happened before, which means we as Christians have to do things that we have never done before. You say, well, Kevin, I come to church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you do. Thank you very sincerely for the support you give to this congregation. But it's not enough to come to church. Well, Kevin, I'm going to vote in November. Praise God. That's your duty as a Christian. Thank you for doing that. But it's not enough to vote. You've got to pray like you've never prayed before. And you've got to speak up like you've never spoken up before. You've got to stand up like you have never stood up before. Because other Christians don't. And the vast majority of these people in this country, all they care about is Taylor Swift and scrolling on their phone. What the left did last week in New York City proves beyond any shadow of a doubt they are willing to do anything, absolutely anything, to crush you conservatives and stay in power forever. The question is for all of us, what are we willing to do? I know where you can start. You can start by not believing the lies about Christian nationalism. You can stop by believing the lies from the sellout Christians that say Christian nationalism is a cult. You can start by not believing the lies from the left that say Christian nationalism is going to destroy this country. You know why they say that? Because they know that the biggest thing standing in their way of the Marxist transformation of this country, the biggest thing that is stopping them from taking over, is that right there, and that right there, and that right there, in this right here. That is Christian nationalism. And let's pray. Lord, we're living in a nation now that you've just blessed incredibly. Lord, we can see your hand all over the founding of this country, the incredible ways that you have moved. Lord, the many, many times that you have stepped up and saved this nation. Lord, when everything could have been lost. Lord, you have a special purpose for this country. It's to spread the gospel all over the world and to keep doing that until you come back. And right now that nation is under attack. Lord, we are being threatened from all sides. All these rights and freedoms that have come from you are in danger and under assault. And I just ask and pray, Lord, as we go through this series, you would show each and every one of us something that we need to do that we've never done before. Something we need to say that we've never said before. A different way, Lord, that you may be calling us to do something that we're doing now. Lord, for this country that you have blessed and that you have called. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.